Blog Talk Radio.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live Talk Radio Show. 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 TM Hyman Live. TM Hyman Live. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show. Real talk. Real talk. Talk Radio Show.
Welcome to TM Hyman Radio Live. And it is Wednesday, hump day, February. Yes, February 6th. What? February 6th, 2013. Thank you for rocking with us. It's 9 p.m. on the East Coast, and so it's 6:01 on the West Coast. Thank you for rocking with us. Tonight we're talking about the aftermath of domestic violence. And along with it being Black History Month, the crazy thing is that the domestic violence in our communities sometimes is overlooked. We keep it in. You know, so tonight we're going to get really deep into this topic. We also have a special guest, Tawika Martin, who's going to share a story and ability to rise above her circumstances. I had a chance to speak with this woman, and she is such an inspiration, and she's going to touch so many people this evening. So, you know, you're in for a beautiful, beautiful show. We got some new music for you. Look, it's hump day. We got to give it to you right. And when we come back, we'll bring on Mr. Hyman, Hot Chocolate. We'll see you on the other side of this. There's some new music from D-Toe called Come Home. I think you'll like it. TM Hyman Radio Live, Madam T.O. of Boston, a.k.a. Kizzy Sunshine. See you on the other side of this.
Yeah.
Please listen carefully.
Let that rock, yo.
Live free, live life, live whatever life. You do. Seek Christ when it ain't nobody around and the fame all gone. Know it's a cold world, but you can come home.
Right.
Live free, live life, whatever you do. Seek Christ when it ain't nobody around and the fame all gone. Know it's a cold world, but you can come home.
Let me dim down the lights and put my heart up on my sleeve. Pour out my emotions to your soul for the need. To get closer to the man who woke you up to breathe. Huh. Every day is new, so a new opportunity to reach greatness. His grace is amazing.
Uh-huh.
Tell me what is life without trials and tribulation.
Nothing.
Going through the heartache, the struggle, the pain. If everything was easy, what love would you gain? The fame, the limelight, material things. To see your name up on the start, claiming you self-made. But it don't mean nothing if it all fade away. Temporary happiness only lasts for a day. The joy that he provides adds peace to your mind. So when you're feeling lost, know he's right by your side. When everybody gone and you're left all alone, when you're picking up the phone and getting it dial tone, he here.
Live free, live life, whatever you do. Seek Christ when it ain't nobody around and the fame all gone. Know it's a cold world, but you can come home.
Right.
Live free, live life, whatever you do. Seek Christ when it ain't nobody around and the fame all gone. Know it's a cold world, but you can come home.
I'm on a new page, headed to the promised land. Feeling so good, had to bring in my jazz band. Easy does it, no time to get dusted. This ain't the same dude that the world fell in love with. Rapping for Christ, not giving in the worldly ways. I could be fly, still get the Lord on my praise. Ain't worried about what he say or she say.
No.
9 times out of 10, he or she is not saved. Nowadays, everybody want to follow song. Be up in the mix with their clicks, popping bottles free. Ain't judging, to each his own, homeboy. Just doing my job, spreading the gospel of the Lord's joy.
The world
chewed me up, then spit me out.
Then
Jesus picked me up, and he showed me what he about. He can open up doors when the yards ain't shut. Just open up your mind, this is food for the gut. He here.
Live free, live life, whatever you do. Seek Christ when it ain't nobody around and the fame all gone. Know it's a cold world, but you can come home.
Right.
Live free, live life, whatever you do. Seek Christ when it ain't nobody around and the fame all gone. Know it's a cold world, but you can come home.
Right.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us. KLM Radio Live is Madam CeeLo Boston. And like I told you, we have a beautiful guest on, Tuika Martin, which I'm going to introduce her shortly. But before I do that, I want to bring on my team, Mr. Hyman, the man of the hour always.
What up, world? Coming to you from Tallahassee, Florida tonight. What's good? Thanks for tuning in. Hump Day Wednesday.
Ah, yes. Traveling man. And next we have my girl from Plant City, Hot Chocolate. What's up, darling?
Itty bitty. Plant City.
Yes, itty bitty in the building. What's going on, people? Hot Chocolate here live with you.
Yes. So I want to get right into this because domestic violence is like, it is like one of the largest crimes that happen every single day. Your next door neighbors, you know, your teenagers go through this. So, you know, I want to do a little roundtable first amongst our team and see where everybody stands. And then I want to bring on Tuika after that because she does have a strong story to share. But, Mr. Hyman, I want to start with you. I want to get the male point of view. What's up? What's going on with domestic violence? Is there something that we're missing? Is it, what can we do? Like, what's going on?
Well, I'll tell you, fortunately, I really can't speak a whole lot about domestic violence from an experience perspective. I can tell you that, you know, as a kid, I remember, you know, my mom and dad getting into it one time. And I can remember my grandfather, all my uncles showing up. They packed us up,
right.
Left Florida, and that was the end of it.
Right.
We went back up, and my mom doesn't play around with the domestic violence piece. I think I remember hearing stories about my grandfather and my grandmother. You know, they used to get drunk and fight in the street, and so my mom said she would never, you know, even tolerate, you know, domestic violence. I think she probably was traumatized, you know, as a child, you know, but I really can't speak of it. But regarding what's going on today, I think, you know, a lot of young guys mimic, you know, what they've seen, what they've been exposed to. If you were in a household where you experienced someone being battered, 9 times out of 10, you know, if you didn't want to be the complete opposite of that, you probably will turn into a batterer, and unless someone actually helps you to understand different. If you're a female that's seen, you know, a female be battered 9 times out of 10, you know, unless you said that would never be me, you became a female. You become a female who's battered because you think it's okay, because that's what you've been exposed to. Again, I really can't speak a whole lot about domestic violence because I really can't relate to it. I know that we need to try to reduce what's happening specifically amongst teenagers. Children are being battered by children, you know, all in the name of love. Not good.
Right. Well, and then Hot Chocolate, how do you feel about domestic violence? I mean, do you have any, I don't know if you want to share, if you do have experience with it, but like, how does it feel to you? You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you think is not, you know what I'm saying? Not like the issue, but what makes it so prevalent?
Well, I'm going to say this, I'm going to take a brave step and say, yes, I have been a victim of domestic violence in a couple of ways. However, not going into a whole lot of detail and taking the limelight away from our guest, I am also going to say that I did take a stand and spoke on it. And there's a lot of taboo in our society about all levels of domestic violence, whether it be family members, whether it be, you know, our children, you know, and their relationships, even in family platonic relationships that are, you know, not boyfriend, girlfriend type of things. You know, you have to be able to be brave and speak up about it and discuss it to get help and to be able to understand what it brings about and what the end results are and what damage it does to families and relationships.
Right.
And people
right.
after the fact.
Right. And, you know, and it's, what's interesting is that you can ask different people that, you know, have gone through, you know, domestic violence, whether they were, you know, the witness to it growing up or
right.
Or it being done to them growing up or them doing it just
to
out of
someone
rain
else.
Or what have
yeah.
you. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? It's like when emotions are involved in it, it makes it hard for other people to get involved. So some people say it's none of my business, but then sometimes
it really,
it's too late.
It really is our business. It really
right.
is our business.
And it is. And that's why we here on TM Hyman Radio Live have this beautiful woman on with us, Tawika Martin, who is going to share her story on how she got out of it, how she, you know, changed for her children, for herself. And you know what? I'm not going to tell a story. I'm going to let her tell herself. I would like to welcome and to the world, Tawika Martin, and thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
Hi, Tawika. Are you on mute?
Is she on?
Yes, she's
yes,
on.
Yes, I'm here.
Hey,
welcome.
Hello?
Yes, dear. Welcome. Yes.
Thank
Tawika.
You. Happy to be here.
Thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you very much for joining us. So, Tawika, you're here to share, you know, your story, you know, about how you rose above your circumstances, you know, dealing with domestic violence. What started it? Like, what made it okay for you to even be in a domestic violence relationship? Because, I mean, apparently if you were in one, you were in one for, you know, more than a month or two, you know? So, like, what happened?
Well, you really don't know that's what's going on until it's too late, because those type of men, they seek out a certain type of woman, a woman. Domestic violence, it won't happen with every woman. It takes a certain type of woman that are tolerated, and for whatever reason, those type of men know how to target that type of woman. Usually it's low self-esteem. It's a couple of factors that go into it, and I was young, low self-esteem, no self-worth, and he zoomed right in, and before I knew it, I was getting cursed out and then beat on a regular basis. And you don't know how to get out.
Right.
And they set yeah. the situation up so you don't have a way to get out, because you totally depended on him for everything you need, and you can't get out.
When you say they, who are you referring to? And I just want to clarify for the people that are listening, because I know you and I had spoken earlier, but keep in mind this is worldwide. So for the people that don't know, who the they, you said, that are setting it up, who are you speaking of?
I'm speaking about the type of men that think it's okay to hit a woman.
Okay.
It takes a special kind of man to do that to a woman and see her in that condition afterwards and think it's okay to live with her like that and let her children see her in that condition and then blame you. Look what you
right.
made me do.
Right.
Look what I made you do, and my face is twisted, but I made you do it. Okay.
Right. Right.
Tawika, the question I have is, where did you not have a dad? Do you not have brothers? Do you not have crazy cousins that, you know, that could come in and kind of, you know, help to defend or protect you in that situation?
No, because I'm the oldest of 8 kids. And my mom, she was married to a guy, my stepfather. We watched him beat her up. He beat us. You know, she never fought for herself. She never fought for us. And out of 8 kids, I'm the oldest. Like my brother, I was in domestic. When I went through it the first time, I was 13. And it just didn't stop. The first guy I ever dated, it was a domestic violence relationship. And then after I broke up with him, some guy saved me from him. And then he started, and I was with him for 8 years.
Hmm.
So, no, I didn't have anybody to intervene. And, you know, it's not something you talk about because you're
right.
embarrassed. No, it comes with so much shame and guilt. It's not something you talk about.
Right. Now, you know what, and we're going to take a pause right here, and we're going to come back after this. This is Jay Styles, Breathe Again, TM Hyman Radio Live. We have with our special guest, Tawika Martin, who pretty much she survived, you know, domestic violence. And we're going to talk more about that. She's going to share with us how, you know, how she turned it around, how she changed it and made that decision. But here's my, again, here's my man, Jay Styles, Breathe Again, TM Hyman Radio Live, Madam C. Will Boston. Yes.
We'll be right back.
I'm not your baby, and then he left your
T.M. Hammond Live, coming to you live from Tallahassee, Florida tonight, hanging out with our special guest, Tawika Martin. Got CeeLo live out of Charlotte. Got a Chocolate live out of Itty Bitty Plant City. Hey, before we go any further, want to make folks aware, if you are in the Tampa Bay area, Whiskey North presents V Nation. It's a T-shirt release party. Hey, come out and join us Saturday, February 16th. If you are 18 years or older, the baby's got to stay home. Come on out. The party starts 11 p.m. It's to 3 a.m. Free T-shirt giveaway. It's the V Nation T-shirt release party going down Saturday, February 18th, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Hey, if you want more information, why don't you contact V Nation at 1-800-242-4957. That's 1-800-242-4957. It's the V Nation T-shirt release party. Hey, give me my T-shirt.
Nice. Me too. Medium, please.
All right.
Yes. I'm on my T-shirt fit for the summer, y'all.
Yeah, come on now.
Yeah.
Well, look, Tawika, when we left off, you were sharing your story. And for those of you that just joined, we have our special guest, Tawika Martin, and she's sharing her story with us. And we really appreciate it, Tawika.
Yes, thank you
again really
for being brave enough to come and share your story. A lot of people, because of, you know, the situation that it involves and the topic, like you know, we're saying before we went to break, are afraid to come forward. So I commend you. I applaud you.
Yes. Yes, and I'm going to give you one right now. Look.
Yeah.
Those are off.
There you go. There you go.
So, Tawika, what changed it for you? What made you, like, okay, so you were abused, and then, like, with the first relationship, so, like, what happened after that? Like, did it stop then, or, you know, did it continue?
Well, when he started to hit my kids, and I had a parent-teacher conference when my daughter was in the third grade, and the teacher was telling me, you know, that my daughter was shutting down, that she's coming to school, and what it seemed like the whole world on her shoulders, she's not the same kid anymore. So I had a talk with her when we was walking home from the bus stop, and she was telling me, you know, that she could hear stuff, and she was nervous that if I was okay. So
wow.
I was trying to find my way out then, but I just didn't know how to get out. And I ended up going to the Battered Women's Shelter 3 times in 2 years. And for the first time, I met somebody at the shelter in Miami, Florida, who actually had a conversation with me my third time there. And she let me know, you know, we love you. You've been here 3 times. He's going to kill you. You got to get out. And I didn't know how to get out, but I told God what I needed, and I needed to get out.
Right.
And the last time he beat me up was in December, December the 7th, 1991,
oh my God.
I got out. He went to jail, and I moved in with my mom, and I just didn't fall for any of those threats, and I never went back.
Wow.
So let me ask you this. This is, you went to the Battered Women's Shelter 3 times based on the same relationship, or 3 different times in 3 different relationships? I wasn't clear on that.
No, it was in the same relationship.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. So what made you go back, though, Tawika?
Yeah, the 3 times. Well, the 3 times.
You mean go back to him?
Yeah, to him.
After the first time of having to go to this, because, like, you had your kids with you, right?
Right.
Okay. So I didn't know. I just wanted to clarify, like, so, like, what made you go back to him, like, after the first stay at the shelter?
Because you need somewhere to live. When your time is up at the shelter, sometimes they have funds to help you out with first and security to get you into an apartment.
Right.
But with 4 kids, and I was receiving public assistance, like $426 a month,
wow.
There's no way you can survive off that.
No.
And the guy knows this. He knows he have you in a situation where even if you want to go, you can't go. Financially, you can't go. And I was like 19, 20, 22, no education, high school dropout, had my first kid at 14. So I had, by the time I was 22, I already had four kids.
Wow.
There's nowhere to go with no income. So I don't know. The grace of God got me out. I moved back in with my mom, found a job, saved up my money, and I moved out.
Well, I'm glad you made it out, and I'm glad your children made it out. I mean, like, now my question is, because a lot of people, and honestly, I'm going to take a stance. Some people may not agree with it, but if you went back, right, after the second and third time, and the children see this, are involved in this, how much do you think that it really impacted them, or did you try to hide it from them? Because, you know, some people try to hide it from kids, and the kids have no idea what's going on. They think they're just going on trips, you know.
Right.
So were you honest with your children about what was going on, or did you try to cover it up, you know, like the best you could?
Well, of course I tried to cover it up, you know. And I don't want to sugarcoat it either. A lot of it, I went back because, you know, you hear girls say, but I love them.
Right.
It was stupid. I'm not going to, like, try to put it all on the fact that financially I couldn't stay out. That was the biggest part of it. But, you know, afterwards they call you back, they're crying, you know, and
right.
You young and thinking, I love him, and he loved me too. I just can't keep doing. He's telling me, well, don't keep doing that because that's stupid. It's going to make me react like this. So then I tell myself, I ain't going to do that no more.
Right.
But it takes a while for you to realize it's not me, it's him. That's just who he is as a person. So, but, yeah, I tried to hide it with my kids, my oldest daughter, both of them. You know, I tell them I don't cry. Like, I could get punched in the face or punched in the stomach, and I won't make a sound because I want my kids to hear. And I will go in the bathroom, turn the water on in the tub, sit right next to the tub, and cry my eyes out because I didn't want them to know. I would get myself all set up so the next morning I can get my kids up and get them ready for school like nothing happened.
Wow. And you know what you're saying, that we're going to take another break, and on the other side of that, we'll open it up and for questions from the panel. But I think this song is very fitting. I don't even have to say who it is. It's TM Hyman Radio Live. See you on the other side of this.
Never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through,
you were there to carry me through my mess. I'm stronger. my accomplishments. Only one like I have a problem with is myself. That's probably why my only competition is myself. From today to tomorrow, the doctor just rock to the same drum. The past, so I ain't forgot where I came from. I got the club rocking, I got the club jocking, me and Phil still in the we going the distance, don't you party people, come on. On the church floor, break it better, I'll push the dough on the liquor store, see where it gets you. For me, I got to be on top. I said, me, I got to be on top. I got the street on lock. I'm an automatic pilot. Ain't nobody stopping me. Growing up in poverty, ain't feel my heart, but lost me. Right out on high. I jump to get them off of me. I'm a leader. Look to see the natural born boss of me. They're from Bel Air. I'm from the bottom. Soon as I spot them, I get the drop and I got them. I cop my piece and I got them. It's dinner time when the nine come out. The go with the chain, off with the brain, move brain, off with the brain. Said I get rich or die trying. I did it deluxe. Sucker trying to stop my shine. Nothing matters but the music. Music my first love. We pay for chasing. I'm always coming in first, cuz I'm built for it. See, I'm better under pressure. I react like a maniac when I'm coming to get you. I got the win. Him watching, Dre watching, my son watching. That losing ain't an option. I'm sharp, I'm on point. Staying from my ballpoint. Throwing out my pain. I'm back on my A game. I'm focused. For me, this is just another victory. Except that I'm stronger than the ops now, mentally.
PM Hyman Radio Live, we are back, we are back. Your girl Hot Chocolate in the building, Madam CeeLo Boston, PM Hyman, also our special guest, Ms. Tawika Martin, and we are discussing domestic violence and its after effects and effects even during, you know, just the difficult time that you're going through. My question to you, Tawika, is what was your breaking point, and especially after the fact that you tried to leave three times, what was the point where you finally said that you'd had enough and you were willing to accept the help? Because I know that's a big part of it, too.
When he started beating my kids, she was a bedwetter. So the first time he was, like, over it, he made her take the sheets off the bed, put them in a bucket in the backyard, and wash them out on her hands.
And how old is the child at this point?
She was in the third grade. So I didn't say anything the first time because I was afraid. But
right.
The second time, he was, you know, he beat her, and he did the same thing with the sheets in the bucket. So I went outside and I'm proud of her, and I said, look, the way you just beat her and you making her wash those sheets out on her hands, if that was something she could control, she would control it. But obviously she can't control it because she did it again. She'd do it every night. But I would hide the sheets so he couldn't find them. But when he found them, that was his way of trying to punish her. So I was like, no. Because I watched my mom go through it, and I resented my mom. and we not close. So I didn't want my kids to grow up hating me because I didn't protect them. So I was like, no, I got to get the heck up out of here.
Yeah, most definitely. And I, like I said, I am so glad that you did make it. And apparently some other people are too, because we have a caller, and we're going to go ahead and call her. Area code 305-9469 is the last four. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Welcome to the show. Got a comment tonight?
Hello?
So what's your name, where are you calling from? Welcome to the show. All right. Maybe not.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
Sweet, the question that I have as I sit and listen, right, I heard you say at the top of the show that that men, these type of men who abuse, look for a particular type of woman. And then I heard you also say that, you know, you were in a relationship, you know, that was abusive, and then you got out of that relationship, started another one that became abusive. Is there anything in what you're attracted to that, you know, as it relates to a certain type of man, were you attracted, did you automatically gravitate to a certain type of guy?
Well, that's a very fair question. That's
I guess
a very fair
without knowing, that's the type of spirit, those were the type of spirits that I was attracting. Because I was so young, I really didn't get it then, like, this is the same dude, like the last dude. The first boyfriend, I was 13 when I met him, 14 when I had a baby, but he was already beating me up by then. And my second kid, father, he was almost like my white knight. He came in, he got me out of that relationship, and he was really good to me and my kids in the beginning. And then it went left so fast. And I found myself in that same situation, and I'm thinking, dang, it's really a feeling of hopelessness and despair. You really don't know how you got yourself in this again and how I'm going to get myself out alive.
Right.
Oh, gosh, yes, because it's like, and you know what, it's like when you're in the middle of it, you know, it's hard to see how to get out. And then also with you not having the guidance and the support that you needed, you know, early on, you know, so that it wouldn't have been repeated. But the thing is that, you know, look, you know, I'm glad that you made it out. So do you, your children now, do you see any, I guess, any signs that, you know, the abuse affected them? Or do they kind of, you know, are they just, you know, regular kids now that, you know, it doesn't really, they're not in that environment, so it doesn't come up?
Well, my oldest daughter, it affected her. You know, she found herself in a similar situation. And, of course, I accept, like, all the responsibility and so much guilt behind that because I put her in that situation when she was just a child. That's what she saw. And as a kid myself, I didn't know how to make her understand that no, it's not right. And no woman should be with a man that's going to beat you up like this and call you those type of names. So, you know, if you baked the cake and you followed all the ingredients off the box and the cake didn't come out right, the first thing you do is get the box and say, well, I thought I put everything in it, but it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel with my daughter. Like, I love her more than I love myself. But the fact that she's in the situation that I was in, I feel so guilty and so hurt because I was the roadmap that led her to that situation. So,
my question, my next question would be, you mentioned that you were resentful towards your mother. And you kind of put a halt to it, didn't want your daughters resentful towards you. How is your current relationship with your mother, being that you kind of see now, you know, she just really couldn't help it. It's not that she allowed it, just like you didn't allow it, she couldn't help it. Did your experience help to cultivate the relationship with your mother, and what is your relationship with your daughters like?
Okay, with my mother, once I was in that, I felt myself in her shoes, and I went through, you know, a bunch of the same stuff that I used to hear her going through, and I was like, hated her for going through that and not being strong enough to protect us or protect herself. When I found myself in that situation, that's how God is. When you judge somebody, he puts your feet in those shoes, in a sense. So I used to be laying there a lot of times thinking, this is what how my mother was thinking or feeling, trapped.
Right.
Not knowing how to get out. Financially, you can't get out. Yeah.
Right.
And then with
and
my
it's
daughter,
hard with children. Right.
Yeah, I called my mother like a long time ago. And I told her what I just told you, and I apologized to her, and I told her that was the reason why I acted out the way that I did, because I felt like you wasn't there for me when I needed you. You didn't protect me when I needed it. And all of our relationships with my mom is different because that abuse affected us all, and we all have a love-hate relationship with her. Like, we love her, but because we hated her so much when we was little, you believe what you tell yourself. So I had to recondition my mind. I don't hate her.
Yeah, and the apology is a big step in the recovery part of that, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we have – I want to take a break. I mean, this has been so awesome. If you're just joining or, you know, you miss, you're going to have to go back, check the podcast out.
The podcast.
It'll be ready 20 minutes after we get off air, so don't worry.
Going down. It's going down. It's going down. It's going down.
Right. Okay, so it's Shelly Sand.
Got to tell her again, and if she wants to, she can just bring a friend. When she give it to me, I'ma kill up like a murderer. Now what's the plan now? Wind it to your gem now, girl. I'm just saying now, give me yeah now. Oh, you a fan now? Tell 'em how I ran down. So tell your friends how I made you say ooh damn wow.
Murder, me, yo, give me so many recipes. Them 10s and them 20s and 50s are only you. She know that you with it, you with it.
Telling me ready, got to tell her again. And if she wants to, she can just bring a friend. When she give it to me, I'ma kill up like a murderer.
Saturday, February 16th, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m., $10 for men, $7 for females. Hey, T-shirts are free. If you want more information, you can hit them up at 1-800-242-4957, 1-800-242-4957. This is 11921 North Del Mabry Avenue. That's in Tampa, Florida. You know what it is. It's Whiskey North. If you want more information, hit up DJ, where you can purchase tickets, 904-859-5559. Again, that's
904-859-5559.
The crew, Ms. Martin, hanging out with us. Domestic violence is the topic tonight, and this has been something serious. Tawika Martin's been sharing out of her personal experience, and, you know, she's not the only one. We know many people that's been abused, and unfortunately what she is speaking of is generational domestic violence. You know, at the top of the show, I mentioned, you know, it's my perspective that domestic violence is a cycle because people are exposed to it. And it's not just women. I know at the top, Tawika was saying these type of people, these men, they prey on. But unfortunately, you know, it's my perspective that just like females who are exposed to abuse often are abused, I don't necessarily think that it's the guys that deliberately seek out to be this way. I think they also were exposed. If you see, abuse in your household, you think that's the way to deal with your anger. So two-way street, although I'm not, you know, justifying anything because no one should be abused, nor should we accept abuse.
More so of a justification. It's more of an understanding.
Absolutely. It's things that little boys are exposed to that become up to be grown men who are unable to manage their anger, effectively or appropriately. So I hope we're going to provide some resource information tonight. But we're going to go back to Tawika. And my question, Tawika, as we try to wrap this up tonight, is there something specific that you'd like to share? And how does a woman who's in this situation, and I'll say this, how does even a man who's in an abusive situation, because men aren't the only batterers out here, folks. There are women
right.
who beat the hell out of men.
Yeah. You ain't lying.
I used to be one. You know what I'm saying? Like, no joke.
Oh,
Lord,
Kizzy Sunshine, Lord
have mercy. I used to be very violent.
My question, Tawika, is how does one in this situation who are hopeless, how do they get out?
You got to pray.
You're right about that one.
You got to pray. That's honestly how I got out. I had a praying grandmother. She knew what I was going through. I was young, and I was raised up in the church, so I was smart enough to know that I needed to pray because I did not know how to get out. So you got to have a conversation with God, and he answered my prayers. He honored my request, and I never got into another domestic violence. I can spot them just by the way they talk. Now,
I've been in the same relationship now for 17 years, so I can honestly say I know better. Now, when you know better, you do better.
Congratulations.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, ma'am. I mean, yeah, that's something that some people can't say because of the simple fact that they stayed a day too long, an hour too long.
A minute
too
long.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of times what people don't understand, if you've never had what they call the fear of God in you, that was, you know, this is being produced because of the actions of someone else who has so much rage in them, but you
yeah.
know that there was a good person in there. So a
right.
lot of them, they hold on to that, men or women, you know, they hold
right.
on to that good because they know the good was there, and hopefully
yeah.
that bad won't, you know, just like try to tiptoe, you know.
What I also just heard, in what Tawika just said, is, you know, whatever you want for your child, you have to model that behavior.
Yeah.
You
have to model the behavior that you want your child to demonstrate when they get older. Because
you gotta teach them how to be treated.
It's
a cycle.
Whatever you're exposed to, 9 times out of 10, you grow up thinking that's normal.
It absolutely does, yeah.
Right, and it comes down to respect, teaching respect, what respect is. Because if you grow up seeing disrespect, you never know. You're so used to BS that you don't know what good is.
Yeah, you think that's
the
norm.
You have nothing to compare it to. So
right.
if you do find someone good, they're probably whack as hell to you because you don't know nothing about not being beat up. You don't
exactly.
know nothing about not being yelled at. You
yeah.
got to yell at me. That's how you let me know you love me.
Miss Martin,
yeah,
in the last few minutes, you know, why don't you, you know, just share whatever you'd like to share as we close in these last few minutes. Anything that you'd like to, you know, share with the world, share with us, and thank you for coming on tonight and being so transparent with us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I'm really grateful that I had this opportunity, and I hope that it's something that I said to help somebody that's listening or know somebody that's going through it. You have to have an outlet. You need a friend. You need somebody that's not going to judge you or make you feel worse than you already feel, and
right.
you just got to know. It's a song called "What a Woman's Worth." You got to know what you're worth. You got to teach your kids self-worth, self-esteem. You got to love yourself first because had I loved myself like I do now, nobody would have been able to drag me down that low because it doesn't feel good mentally or physically to be in a situation like that because the words actually hurt worse than being punched in the face because you never forget how it feels the first time he called you a dumb bitch.
Uh-huh.
And you think, wow. And that's something you don't forget. And that was so long ago, and I get hurt.
Right.
Physically it hurt. Mentally it hurt. You just got to know what you're worth and don't accept nothing less. Nobody should be beat like that. Or
by no means.
Put your kids, expose your kids to that type of environment because they have to grow up one day. And it'll be too late.
Right. And you don't want it to become too late.
Right.
And, yeah, and with that said, Tawika, again, we thank you immensely for stopping by, hanging out with us, sharing your story, and also sharing how you prayed to get out of it. And, you know, you made it out, your children made it out. And, you know, this is a time for healing. So hopefully you have forgiven, first and foremost, if you haven't already, Tawika, please forgive yourself.
Yeah.
Please forgive yourself because you didn't know any better, but now you do. So please forgive yourself, and I think it'll help with the healing past what you've, you know, somewhat healed so far to even be able to share with us.
Right. And with that being said, we have a few minutes left in the show, and Madam CeeLo Boston out of Charlotte tonight has a
yeah.
special piece that she'd like to share with us. Madam CeeLo Boston.
Thank you. Well, this piece is called Anxiety Attack. Anxiety Attack. Okay. Feeling desperate, living separate, can't digest this notion of being trapped. Careless dealing, digress healing, can't shake this potion from the past. Hands up, tears down my helpless freckled face. Heart broke, throat choked, bended knee, screams to God, please help me. Am I alone inside myself? Or am I myself alone? Can't hear the door knock, bell ring,
crying babies, no phone. Frantic, manic, depressive, sense of acting out. No more teenage, no more friends, no love, no clout. Creative strikes, none the likes of him or her. Shedding years, no forced tears. Standing here, my past becomes a blur. But fading back to the present, my presence presents superiority, whereas the majority lack thereof. Thank you.
Madam CeeLo Boston, live out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks to our guest, Tweeka Martin, tonight. And folks, again, if you are anywhere in the Tampa Bay area, Saturday, February 16th, check Whiskey North out. V Nation presents a T-shirt. Wow.
Hey, all right.
Peace party going down. You can hit them up at 1-800-242-4958. Or you can call DJ at 904-859-5559. My dude Rax will be performing. You don't want to miss it. $10 for men, $7 for females. Whisking off Saturday, February 16th.
Catch up to be that medium.
Take us up out of here. We're back on Friday, 9 p.m. Miss Martin, God bless you and your family. In world, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate y'all. Hey, we are 35,000 listeners strong, and we appreciate y'all.
Get it. What? And with that's enough said. We'll see y'all on Friday. Thank you for joining us. We love you. TM Hyman Radio Live. Aaliyah and Drake, enough said.
Peace.
Talk radio show. Talk.